Okay, today is our annual Children's Day program. Amen. Very interesting program. We achieved two things. We achieved two things from this program. At least two things. Among other things, two things we achieved. Praise the Lord. Number one, we want to see the children's church. What is happening there? When you come here, you drop your children in the children's church. The pastor of the children's church, Pastor John Paul, wants to showcase what they are doing there. Together with the other pastors that are with him, they are working there with him. The most difficult thing ministry is that class there, that church there. It's not easy. Amen. And we have a lot of regards and appreciation for those our brethren that forsake the meetings here and they concentrate on them every Sunday. While you are here enjoying here, they are there laboring and sweating and shouting from morning till afternoon. Only God will reward them. Can we clap our hands for that? For them. Amen. And also, more importantly, want you to, it's an opportunity for us to see what we should be doing. A fulfillment of the theme for the program, Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up a child the way he should go. And when he departs, when he grows, he shall not depart from it. When he's old, he will not depart. And one way of doing it is get their attention to the things of God. Get their attention to the things of God. See, when a child grows up in a godless home, then he will live his life without consideration of God. And when Satan can get a hold of somebody who has no consideration for God, then you can imagine what will happen. And that is the problem with our society today. It's good. We also know that so many children, don't worry, they may grow up now from children in Christian homes, and sometimes you see them go wayward. Let me tell you, you do your own and leave God to do his own. Those words that you speak to them, those scriptures that you taught them, they are hidden somewhere in their spirit man. One day, amen, those things will be quickened as the truth. When you teach them compassion, compassion will be hidden somewhere. Even when they want to do certain things, what they have been taught will constrain them from, you know, doing certain things. You see, a young pastor in Europe, I think it's in Netherlands, I met, that was telling me his testimony. He's 23 years old now. But he said he was rough the way he described it. Until they used to, he said they would put masks with their group and go and be robbing houses. Mask their faces and go and rob houses. But he said one day he entered a house. They entered to rob. Four of them broke into a house to rob. He said he knew, noticed there was a movement in the room, but when he opened the door, he didn't see anybody. So he decided to go and open the wardrobe, and he saw a woman, a pregnant woman, hiding for fear of them. He said, and the woman held his hand and was begging. He said, please, please don't kill me. Please don't hurt me. Please, I am pregnant. Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. For God's sake, please, for God's sake. He said, when that woman said, for God's sake, he said, something struck him. Amen. He said, and something came over him. And he told her, I will tell the boys, they will not touch you. He said, he left with that thing as a wound. Why? That woman in a particular way said, for God's sake. And he quickly something that had been hiding somewhere inside of him. That's why I say, continue to bring them up. They may go up. It's a lie. The word of God is going with them. It will turn them back. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, we are here to present those children, and they will be challenging some of us. Because some of us have children too, like that. But we have no time for them. And you will see parents that have time for their children, how they bring them up. And the product of such. Praise the Lord. The other thing that we use this program to do is to learn something from the children concerning Christian humility. Let's look at these three scriptures very briefly, and then we invite them in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Can we open the Bible to Mark chapter 10? Verse 13, 14, and 15. It says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. The statement to take note is the next statement. He said, for of such is the kingdom of God. Listen, church. He didn't say the kingdom of God is for little children. He didn't say the kingdom of God is for little children. He said the kingdom of God is of such little children. And he made it clear in the next verse, 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So, if you are going to be a Christian, that is the kingdom of God. Whosoever will enter into the kingdom of God, he said, you must be like a little child. He brought a little child standing before his disciples who thought that, keep those children away. This is time for mature people. He said, no, bring them, because from them I can give you a message. So he put a little child and began to preach to them how you should come into the kingdom of God. And we are going to use these children here today and know how we should come into the kingdom of God. That is what we achieve once every year. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Amen. I expect everybody to take such very seriously this kind of teaching that Jesus Christ was teaching. The greatest. As far as we are concerned, looking at it, the way Christianity has been presented, sitting down here now, the greatest in this church now, in the kingdom, the greatest is the pastor. Is the pastor. He's very high in the spirit because He's sitting higher. He climbs the altar, his own place, where he sits higher than everybody. So, or maybe if we look at it generally, even outside here, amen, we have, after all, we have hierarchy. We have pastor. Then we have reverend. Now, it is attempt for somebody to look greater than the other that they have invented titles to show the position that you are in. To show the level that you are in. Reverend. And if it is reverend, not just reverend, now to tell you that we don't read well, reverend doctor. Doctorate degree in theology. Amen. Then we have bishop. Oh, we have, what do you call it? Archbishop. And the highest we have pope. The highest person until, oh man. Amen. That is not the highest. That's not the greatest. That is not the greatest. They ask him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? In the church of Jesus Christ, in the body of Christ, who is the greatest? How will you know the greatest among all of us as Christians? The great Christian, the great man. This is his answer, verse 2. And Jesus called a little child to give them the answer. To give them the answer, he brought a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, that is certainty, verily, surely, assuredly, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. So let's look at great men now. That's why what we see as great with our eyes, God is seen sometimes as abomination. That's the Bible. I say we can learn something. We can learn something. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Who is the greatest? He brought a little child. He said, except you are converted and you become as. He said, as. It means you have to learn something. As a little child, little children. He said, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself. You have to humble. So it is about humility. Humble yourself as this little child. The same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so, when you pick a child, there is something you are supposed to learn about the Christian faith, the Christian virtue, from that child. So we look at the characteristic of a child. And you know more than even I do. Everyone that is a parent here, you will know. Anyone that is close to little children, you will know. That number one thing about the little child, one identification about the little child is number one, he is ever trusting. He trusts his parents. He is ever trusting. And that is what God expects of us, to believe in him. Believe that with God, nothing is impossible. A child, no matter how short and tiny his father is, he believes that his father is the strongest man on earth. You touch him outside, any giant that touch him outside, he will tell, I tell my father. I tell my father. Amen. It is when the father comes and sees the man that he will not know, say, praise the Lord. That's one interesting thing. Ever trusting. Ever dependent upon the Father. 100% dependent on the Father. Whether the father can provide for him or not, he believes the father can provide. And the father must provide. If the father does not provide, he's not going to let the father sleep. He's not going to let the mama sleep. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's ever believing. Anything you tell that little child, he will believe you. That's why there's a special law to protect them. That's why it's a special law to protect them. Because anything you tell him, he will believe. Even if it is poison, the fact that you say it is food, he will take it. Because he is ever believing. And that child loves fellowship. Amen. He loves fellowship. Those of you who have children, I know that you know that your child, even when he's sleeping, likes to sleep, you know, and feel that you are around him, the mothers. If that child wakes up, if he's sleeping there, and then the mother leaves that child alone to sleep there, and the child wakes up and sees nobody in the room, he will scream. Shout there as if they won't kill him. Till you get there, what will happen? Why don't you leave only me for here? Why? There's something about him. He wants to get close to the mother. Wants to get close. Not only when he's hungry. But he looks for the mother. No. He loves fellowship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that child knows where there is food. Amen. When that child is hungry, he knows where there is food. And that food is in the breast of his mother. Praise the Lord. He knows where to get food to eat. That's why he stays close to the mother. Very close to the mother. If he offends the mother, he will remember and say, my mother still refused me food today. So he goes immediately and makes it right. That is how a Christian should behave. Praise the Lord. And one very striking characteristic, and that's the major characteristic we learn from a child, is that child is ever forgiving. A child does not hold malice, grudge. I'm telling you how Jesus himself said we shall approach him and how to attain greatness in the spirit, in the church, in the body of Christ. Two little children will be fighting now. Fight and say, tear like that. And give them 1 hour after, those same two children, they are already playing again together. As if they have never fought before. But you will see the parents of those two children. They are still keeping malice. Your child, bite my child. You useless man, useless woman. You sit down there, they deal with the teacher, and then they are fighting. And for months, they are not talking. But those two children that caused the fight, they are their best of friends. They are playing outside today already. Even when the carnal mother comes and says, I said, don't go to that house again. He goes, look, when the mama not there, look again, he goes, chop up. He don't go again. That's the kind of mind God expects of us. Amen. Forgiveness. You know, plain-mindedness. No grudge. Clean-heartedness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They don't pretend. There's no hypocrisy in them. As you see them, that is how they are. As they are inside, that is how they are outside. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the reason why the mother can look at the child. Without the child talking, you will say, this child is sick. Something is wrong with this child. Why? Because there is no hypocrisy. Whatever it is, inside, it shows outside. Oh, may it be like that for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To be like a little child, church, To be like a little child is talking about humility. And there is something in verse 5. Let's read it. In verse 5. And whoso, I'm talking to Kana people among us now. Listen to what the Bible says. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Listen, church. He's not saying these children that are sitting down here. Catch it. I've tried to explain it sometime before. He's not saying that if you see any child and then you receive the child, baby, bum, you buy biscuit, give up. You give up money. He said you have received Christ. That is why we see the Catholic Pope. Anywhere he reached, they will carry Peking, give up. They even go kiss him. To show holiness. That is the scripture they are saying because later in Mark chapter 10, the next verse there, they brought those little children and he blessed them. And since a Pope is representative of Christ on earth, he is doing what Christ is doing, so they are bringing little children for him to bless them. That's not the meaning of that, oh. Praise the Lord. He's saying here, verse 6, 5 again. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, emphasis, in my name, receiveth me. That is, when a Christian that humbles himself like a child, when a believer, a Christian, that is childlike in his Christian faith, comes to you, and you receive him like that in the name of the Lord, you have received Christ. So, what he's trying to tell you there is to be careful how you deal with Christians that have decided to humble themselves. Then he added in verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, one of these Christians that have become childlike, that believe in him, anyone that will offend any of them, that is, you will hurt any of them, you will destroy them in any way, this is what he says awaiting that person. It were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck, and that he will drown in the depth of the sea. It is better than what is awaiting you for taking advantage of a Christian that decided to be childlike in his faith, to be humble, believing all things, accepting all things, trusting all things. Now, people that go to see that you are a Christian and they take advantage of you, they know anything they tell you, believe you, and they hurt you by it. And Satan has planted many of such in the church. Until now, it is difficult to display true Christianity. Because you are afraid, you can't trust somebody that you are sitting together and you are worshiping for years in a church. It's still not enough for you to believe somebody enough and open up yourself for him. Amen. Whoever shall take advantage of you, you will make such a person cry before God. Amen. You make such a person to cry, and God hears that cry. You are in trouble. He said, what they will do to you, it's better you go and commit suicide. That's what he's saying. Carry a millstone, grinding stone, whether they grind pepper for village, for house, because now the electricity that they use for Lagos. You won't understand what millstone is. Go to the village, there's one big stone they use, grinding stone, where they use mama the grind pepper there. He said, take it, it's very heavy. Hang it on your neck and drop in the sea so that you'll be drowned there and you die. It's better you commit suicide than what God will do to you when you hurt such a believer. See? Somebody will come to you in the name of Christianity. knowing that we believe all things. Love believeth all things. Hallelujah. And then there are even people that deliberately will hurt you and quote scripture for you and say, forgive now. Our Bible says you should forgive. Serpent seed. Wicked people. Come and borrow money from you. No, I'll bring it back. No, and they are gone. You stand shorty for somebody, now you go pay that money later. It's true. Praise the Lord. See, it's very easy to identify them. To identify people, you know, who are very wicked, who are very selfish. Christianity is about, you know, about being mindful. I preached a message I told you about mind, being mindful. The title, being mindful. Who is a man that thou art mindful of? God is mindful of us. We too, we are supposed to be mindful of others. If your mind is full of others, that is, you should be considerate in your life, in your living. Little things, as little as even collecting somebody's phone. I want to come down to something that looks like insignificant. Please give me your phone. Let me make a call. One expects you to be considerate until you should just chap and cut off and not to finish the person's credit. But there are people that say, brother, please, can I have your phone? Let me just make one small call. I go sit down there. Anna, since yesterday, you never called me. What did you chop last night? What did you call chop? What did you chop? The food sweet. And it's taking its time and it's burning your credit. And sometimes they do it purposely. Then when it finish, then you give you the phone. Then smarter again, say, but hey, give me your phone again. When you refuse, now you say, and you go say you'll be Christian. And you say you'll be Christian. I'm just using that among members who are close to one another. There are characters like that. Praise God. I beg now, borrow me your car. Make I go here and come back. He will collect the car, finish the fuel, and come and drop empty tank for you. Put potopoto there everywhere that he went and leave you there. If you like, wash your car. If you like, no wash. Now, that is not Christianity. What you are actually doing, you are destroying somebody's faith by such actions. Because when next you come, childlikeness is not foolishness. You have changed that person. You are stumbling that person. Before you know what, that person becomes suspicious of everybody around. You have hurt the faith of that person. He says it's better that a millstone is hung on your neck. You commit suicide. Kill yourself before God will come and kill you. That's why he's saying. Praise God. So expected I should be considerate. If I collect your car before I return it, I will wash it. If I have spoiled it, I will fix it. Yes, now. Praise the Lord. If I use your credit, then I will buy credit and put it back and return the phone for you. Then that is brotherliness. I'm using that as an example. Praise the Lord. The sister believe you to be a Christian. Go visit a Christian brother. With all, you know, good intent. Nothing more. Fellowship. The rest there finish. The man turn. Say, anytime I see you, my body, they charge. Brother, don't do this. Brother, don't do this. And stop this. Brother, you are HOD. You are HOD. You are HOD. But you are HOD. He said, forget that one at church. When you do that, that sister will suspect every brother that comes around. She will not open up again. He said, it's better that for that action, it's better you commit suicide than the judgment that is coming upon you. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. That means I should be able to tell you my problem, my secrets. I must confide in you. You are my Christian brother, you are my Christian sister. Then you go and tell your sister something. Then before you know what, the whole community has heard it. Praise God. Gossiping. What you have done is, you have made that sister to withdraw to a shelf. She will no longer relate with anybody. You have stumbled her. For doing that to that sister, the Bible says, it is better that you commit suicide than the judgment that is coming to you. Why? That sister was doing it as a Christian. Childlike faith. And you are destroying it. And God will destroy you too. Oh, certainly. Certainly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, now. So that's one thing we learn. There's something else he added. You know, when you read the Bible, the prophecies that the Lord gave in Matthew chapter 24, the verse of the end time, you know, when you read them like that, you discover that they are divided into about two or three parts. You know, some have already been fulfilled, while some will be fulfilled, but they are all narrated like that. So it is good to study the scripture. Because when you read that Matthew chapter 18, now if you go to verse 10, he came back to the little children now. Yes, we are also supposed to take care of those little children. After using them to cause us to learn how we should operate live our Christian life, then he came back to verse 10. He's now talking to those little children that are sitting down here now with us. He said, take it that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So these little children have their angels too. And when he said don't despise them, praise the Lord. Sometimes they are very, very unusual. When you see your little child, maybe he's just 4 years old, 5 years old, and tells you, Mommy, I had a dream. Don't say, I beg. No. No, listen to the dream. If he says, Daddy, I see motor crash, brah. He will say, where? He will say, there. You open door, you don't see anything. Amen. Don't say, Johnny, you don't start. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes, that is a gift in there coming up. And you can kill it when you are not sensitive enough. Don't despise them. He said, don't despise them. He said, don't despise them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was shocked. You know, I was shocked when we were in Europe. I think it was in Austria, and then they were given special numbers in the service. One of the services, they was given special number. If you have a special number, then I heard the pastor saying, "We also said little children too have something to say." And then they called, and my son was the one that came out. He said, "I have a special number for you people." And I was looking. He didn't tell us he wanted to sing. And he sat down there and he was singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Praise the Lord. And that challenged all the other parents there concerning their children. Now for him to have that boldness to come out, he received it from somewhere. Naturally, he should feel shy that before crowd, he cannot stand up. Now, don't despise them. Anytime my son says he has a dream, I listen to it. Sometimes, now they play where he play for enter. But I don't tell him, shut up, now that play where they play. Don't do that. Amen. Amen. That is how you know the bearing of his life. That's how you know the bearing of his life. And then encourage them in the areas of their interests. I have so much to say concerning what we can learn when it comes to humility. But I know some of us, we learn more from what we'll observe in this special day. From the presentation of the children. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God hates pride. That is the summary of it all. God hates pride. Me personally, even before I know, say God hates pride. Me as a human being too. I've always hated pride. I hate pride. And after I became a Christian and I found out that God hates pride, I knew that yes, I'm on the right path. I hate pride. I don't associate with people who are proud. The reason is we have no reason to be proud. No man, no human being has reason to be proud. What are you proud of? Apostle Paul says, there is nothing we have that we did not receive. Nothing we have that we did not receive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I saw a definition of pride that I loved. He said, pride is a conceited sense of one's superiority. A conceited sense of one's superiority. When you see yourself superior in any circumstance, you are displaying pride. And there are several ways of displaying pride. Several ways, by your actions, also by what you say. You see, Jesus Christ looked at two people that went to the temple, that Pharisee and a publican. And the Pharisee stood there and was praying. And was telling God how righteous he is. How many times he fasts in a week. How he gives alms and his tithes and his offerings regularly. And then the publican could not even lift up his voice in the same temple, and all he was saying is, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus Christ said, that one, his own, is more acceptable than that one that was making self-righteous. Who can stand before God and say, see me, oh, I'm a holy man? I have to learn that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15, verse 33. He said, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And that's where I am going. Before honor is what? Humility. Before honor is humility. Humility. If you are going to receive honor, you must be humble. You must be humble. Praise the Lord. Humility. 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 The way up, William Branham put it, the way up is down. That is his own way of describing it. He says, praise the Lord. The apostle said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And what will happen? He said, he will lift you up. He will exalt you. He will exalt you. Don't promote yourself. If you cannot be the leader, then they will. If that is what breeds cool, pride and arrogancy. You know how to be arrogant? An arrogant person talks anyhow to people. Whether you are older than him or you are younger than him. Very arrogant. Talks without respect. Acts without regard. Disregards everything around him. Pride. Arrogance. Some sisters never get husbands because of arrogance. Your husband came to you and you were arrogant towards him without knowing. And nobody likes an arrogant person. Who are you? Somebody come to you and say, come, brother, excuse me. May you know your level. What happened? Know your level. Why are you saying know your level? Just tell him, say, sorry, I don't do. Simple now, go. And God told me, say, you be my wife. For your heart, in the look at of all the people, where God will give me this kind of one. Which kind of cause they follow me? For your heart, I don't think like that. But you should be nice to the person. Okay, brother, make I go pray over it. Make I go pray over it. When you go, they go finish, they hear the Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. But you were humbled. You were not arrogant. That's why I said, come, take your time. God tell you, me, of all people, you don't know your level. You see me, you know, that's arrogance. As arrogance, because that person may be the very type of person you are looking for and will disguise himself to come to you. Instead of you to take it easy first and try to know him beyond his present appearance. Before you act, be nice to people. Don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. God hates it. God hates pride. Praise the Lord. Amen. And a froward mouth. Froward mouth. Mouth. Oh, now mouth, they kill many of us. Many mouth. It's a froward mouth that gossips. It's a froward mouth that insults, abuses, talk anyhow, uncontrolled spirit. It's engineered by a froward mouth. Talk anyhow. You say things that you later on you regret it. Froward mouth is what is sometimes responsible for lack of peace in marriage. Husband and wife, you talk anyhow. You, before you know what, the thing where you talk don't reach your in-laws. So you extended a fight with your wife here to your in-laws. With your husband for house here. Because your man talk what you're not supposed to talk and he reached the family. You abuse his family. And you didn't know the effect. A froward mouth. He said, God, he hates it. God hates it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How to be great. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them. Again, which of them should be greatest? A reasoning among them. Who should be greatest? And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. I want to go somewhere here. Praise the Lord. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. Then, the next line. Amen. Every one of us, shall we read that last statement? For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Anyone that shall be the least, that person shall be great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is a mystery that is going on. People are arrogating to say, enter messenger. I am chief apostle. I am John. Continuity ministry, you must follow me in the light of truth. I am this now. I am this. I am that. I am this. I am apostle. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me say this to your shame. You don't even know how to be great. You know nothing about Christianity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They are there going all around, claiming this, claiming that, claiming this, and claiming that. And nothing, they are producing nothing with this message. No effect. No effect. Stop projecting yourself. Allow God to project you. And if you want God to project you, then be humble. Be humble. Be humble. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Apostle Paul taught us all these principles. People read Bible and they cannot apply. He said, in honor, prefer one another. Prefer one another. I told you some times ago, when little David that used to be with us here, that young boy, David, some of you know him. One small boy that used to preach here. He left this church. When he was here, come and see the grace of God upon him. He left here and went to another man who said he is the one now the whole world should follow. And that gift died. Why? Because he said all of them should sit down and learn from him. No other gift operates there. Nobody is him and him. Him and him. If you are going to preach there, you must preach to point people to him. Our sisters that used to prophesy here, they got married and their husband took them to that place. None of them is prophesying now. If you see them, just total spiritual shipwreck. Listen, nobody can take your position. Ogwajo, I cannot take your position, and let me tell you, you can never take my position. In the body of Christ, I'm not talking about bride assembly. In the body of Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah. So therefore, there is no need. Joseph cannot take your position. You cannot take Joseph's position. So there must be no jealousy between Prophet Joseph and Prophet Ogwajo. And should it be? I shouldn't be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's hear the children. Can we clap our hands for Jesus?